I'm Anita Lustria, and this is Faith Conversations. On the podcast this week, I have my husband Mike back with me. I've had several of you, two, maybe three, ask me to have him back, your big fan club. No, I've had a number of you ask me to have Mike back and just say you really enjoy it when he's on. And also I've had several ask that we would talk about some political things, which okay, this is Mike's field more, but I get nervous talking about this, but I also think it's really important for us to talk about it. And so that's where we're going to go. And I think it's certainly timely. You know, the Democratic convention is just wound up, you know, when this podcast releases. So, and we're actually recording it before the convention is over. So, you know, there may be some things that transpire that we can't react to necessarily. But before we get into that too, I just want to also say, because I've heard from a number of people, Mike, that they want to know how to support the podcast. And I so appreciate that. And Melinda finally said to me, just come on, just give your address and tell people they can send a check. So I'm finally doing that. I haven't done it up to now. Because I've had people email me and ask me that, so I might as well give it out on the podcast.
Right, because if nothing comes in, you're going to have to do the Uber thing.
Yes, that's right. That's what you always tell me.
Yes.
Yeah, so anyway, so you can send a check to Anita Lustria, and the address is 905 South Ardmore Avenue. You can just put S for South, and Ardmore is A-R-D-M-O-R-E, 905 South Ardmore Avenue, Villa Park. That's two words, Villa, V as in Victor, Villa Park, Illinois, 60181. Now, I just know how these things work because I listen to podcasts as well. Some of you are just going, oh, wait a minute. Wait, she just gave the address and I don't have a pen or pencil or paper or anything handy. So I'm going to just give you a second to do that, and I'll give it one more time, okay? So that way you don't have to double back. So for those of you interested in supporting the podcast, you can just send a check to Anita Lustria, and the address is 905 South, just S, 905 S Ardmore Avenue, A-R-D-M-O-R-E Avenue. And that is Villa Park, two words, V as in Victor, Villa Park, Illinois. And the zip is 60181. There. Okay, so now for those who aren't familiar or aware, my husband Mike Murphy is a pastor. But Mike, tell about your history. You've got an interesting history. You worked with Young Life for years. You've done a variety of things.
Oh, yeah. I grew up as a career Roman Catholic.
Career meaning literally.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, all
Catholic
your education.
Grade school, high school, college, and graduate school. And I left the Catholic Church. But what makes me a little bit different from some, I'm not angry about it.
Well, I was going to say, I've met some angry ex-Catholics.
Yeah, and I'm not that way at all. Okay. I really thank God for the men and women that helped educate me. And my faith was actually my culture at that time, too. And so, you know, I'm very, very thankful for that and still draw on that even from a theological perspective in a variety of ways.
Oh, you've given me some tremendous book recommendations.
Yeah,
I'll say that.
Yeah, and I think it's really healthy for that. Now I'm a pastor at an evangelical church, even though I think we're having to redefine that word these days.
That's true, right?
Because I don't think anybody quite knows what that means.
Sometimes we want to identify with it. Sometimes we don't because of the way it's been you know, put forth in the culture.
Yes, and so I had a career in youth ministry, and then I ran a foundation for a while, wrote three books, and did all this other wonderful stuff. And probably the highlight of my life...
Marrying me?
Was yes, that's exactly what I was going to say.
That's why I rushed to say something first. What were you going to say?
So that was it.
What, really?
Yes, it was.
Oh, I didn't even have to... didn't even have to joke about it. You really were going to say it.
I was going
to
do that.
All right. Well, glad to have you on the podcast. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I appreciate about you, you're a good thinker. You have helped me to think more deeply and more broadly and more thoughtfully, really. And I appreciate that. And I think some of that actually does come from your Catholic background because, you know, Catholics were great at education. Look at the Catholic institutions in America today.
Yeah, right. And I think what they did is social thought. You know,
yes, okay.
Catholics were very good on that. Mm-hmm. A lot, Protestants really draw on that a lot. And just a whole lot of things that they've thought through for a large number of years, mm-hmm. and I'm thankful for that, and I bring that into the discussion.
Yes.
You know, as you know, I really don't care if somebody's conservative or liberal. It doesn't matter to me, because I don't even know how to put myself in that continuum sometime. But what I really like people to be is very, very thoughtful.
Yes.
And what I find in today's climate is there's just a whole lot of people that give almost no thought to what it is that they're saying.
Well, and I realize I grew up very much just grabbing on to other people's mm-hmm. ideas and thoughts about, especially about politics, I would say. And I hadn't thought through any of it for myself.
Sure.
And I've said this on the podcast before. I grew up in a system that taught me what to think, but not how to think. And so I've had to spend the later part of my life, and you've been a helpful partner in that, learning how to think.
And I know you've talked about this on the podcast before. You grew up in a culture that was addicted to certainty.
Yes, yes.
And that's always a dangerous thing, because a good part of the life of faith mm-hmm. is entering into mystery.
Yes.
And sometimes I find the things that I was so certain about for so long, all of a sudden I realized, well, that was just a theological position, one of among many, all of which could be proven.
Well, and I was going to say, one among many of which are all held by good and thoughtful people. And so, you know, it's not something to hang on to tightly.
That's right. And I think when good people get together and they are thoughtful and they really listen to one mm-hmm. another, then we can really learn from one another. And you've been a real proponent of that people do this. But in today's, you know, 140 character Twitter
yes,
world,
right.
And even Facebook.
And Facebook too.
Oh, yeah. People are just...
I think the anonymity of being able to, you know, yes, your Facebook friends, whatever that means, you know, really, I don't know the vast majority of people who are, quote, friends of mine on Facebook. And I think not knowing, not being close to people, you sort of feel like you can just blurt out and say anything.
Right.
Where, you know, your good friends, you're not going to speak meanly to. And I think it was Melinda who said on Facebook, friends don't judge friends' opinions. And that's especially what's going on right now. This political realm, these are opinions that we all hold.
But we consider them to be facts.
Yeah, yes.
And
I say that to myself as much as I'm saying it to others.
And they're not oftentimes. I think one of my biggest gripe in today's world when we communicate is people will put something up on something like Facebook. That's the easiest thing to look at. And it's erroneous. It comes from
yes.
some goofy site. There's nothing to it. It's obvious the video has been doctored. The words aren't even spelled correctly, you know. And then somebody puts it out, and then you point it out to them. You know, sometimes I'll private message people, and I say, you know, this is wrong, and this is where I found.
I looked it up on Snopes or whatever.
Snopes,
you know.
And a lot of times people go, well, you can't trust Snopes. And so, okay, then you look it up at Truth or Fiction or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But what kills me is this. You kind of prove that this is wrong, and they don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And then you say to them, you know, why don't you just take that down? Because mm-hmm. 'cause all of a sudden you as a Christian are telling people lies, and then they refuse to do that. And the other thing they refuse to do is oftentimes just say, you know what, I posted this, and it was wrong. I'm sorry if I misled anyone.
Mm.
And it's amazing how many people refuse to do those things. They refuse to believe that they could be wrong and to apologize.
Mm.
Whoa. You know, just people say, I don't do that. That's not even in my vernacular.
Well, Pastor Mike, that might be a good sermon to preach. You know, we don't know how to say, I'm sorry. We don't know how to, I think we struggle, period, in relationships and how to do relationships well.
Well, especially in those harder things, when you say I'm wrong, you're admitting something about yourself. And but more importantly, what you're admitting is the people that you know,
mm-hmm.
you're afraid to say something because you're afraid of looking stupid in their eye because you think they're going to come after you.
Mm.
And the fact of the matter is, most good people I know accept somebody's apology and
and respect and, them more.
And they'll say, you know what, I've done the same thing.
Yes.
And it's good to act on it right away.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
So that's one of my bugaboos.
All right, well, where should we go to talking about politics and the political process?
Well, I don't even know. It's such muddy water this time.
More than ever in my history of my years of being able to vote.
Yeah, this is the ugliest I've ever seen it. I think a lot of it is because of social media. We have two candidates at the top of the tickets that are intensely disliked. That doesn't help. And mm-hmm. I think we as a culture feel if we dislike somebody, then we can really grab onto them and just do whatever we want and just bring them down even lower than they might already feel. So I think that's really problematic. And we've got all this against a kind of an apocalyptic kind of framework where the world is going to end. You know, one of the conventions was so dark and gloomy that, you know, I almost wanted to cry sometimes. And I went, wow, I'm not even sure I should walk out my door. I think somebody's going to be out to get me.
Yeah, and the reality is, sure, bad things are happening around the globe. Bad things have always happened around the
right.
globe. I think sometimes also in this age of instant news and instant knowledge, we're much more aware of these things that are happening.
Right.
But it's how you spin those or couch those or frame those. I think just the fact that I use that word spin probably says what I'm thinking.
Yeah, the invention of political spin began the downfall of civilization.
Yeah, I know. When did that start? That was years ago.
Well, that's been
for
forever. But I think for people of faith, and you're reaching primarily people of faith, I remember something Angela Merkel said. She's the chancellor in Germany when the Syrian refugee crisis came about. And she said something, and I'm sure some of your listeners, I don't want them to get all riled up about this, because there's a point I want to make. She said, Islam isn't the issue. You know, us being more Christian is the issue.
Hmm.
And in some ways, what we have to do is learn how to be Christian in a whole different way when everything's kind of shifted a lot. Christians are no longer what we used to call the moral majority.
Hmm.
I mean, there's just... There's fewer of us. 80% of churches in America are either dying, plateaued, or dead. Nobody wants to do the funeral, and that's a true thing. I've read that in a number of places. I see it in my travels when I meet with people. The church can be a tough place. So we're no longer at the top of the ladder, and we don't know how to deal with that. And there's times though you need, I think. That's the best thing, because Jesus said once, right, the first will be last.
Mm.
And I think we have to learn, what does it mean to be us from a lower position and still believe that the Lord is with us?
Mm. Well, and I think also it's interesting, as you were talking about the Syrian refugee crisis, one of the things that came to my mind was when I had Marilyn Gardner on the podcast talking about interacting with refugees, and she and her husband Cliff have gone overseas a number of times and worked with organizations there. And I think there's a lot of misinformation, and which goes back to your first point that people that we, it's easy to read misinformation and believe it.
Right.
And not catch it as something that's incorrect on the internet. It's one thing to catch it and then have the person choose not to take it down. That's bad enough, but there's a lot of misinformation and people just come to believe it and don't even know that it's incorrect.
Yeah, and you know why people put out misinformation?
Why?
Those kind of folks know that we're too lazy to check it out for ourselves.
I
know you're not that way.
I don't like, no, and that's, I'm very saddened to hear that.
And so people know that. It's the same thing with, if you ever had a political candidate that liked to label people, you know, say this person's that.
Mm-hmm.
They count on us buying the label.
Okay, not
examining
it. Okay.
And then we go around believing that that person is, the full sum of that person is that one label.
Mm.
Well, that's crazy. Mm. You know, somebody could have done something crooked in their life at one time, but that doesn't sum up the entirety of their life. You know, I could be called have been called lazy at some times in my life. Well, I would hate that to be my label for the rest of my life. You know, and that's what we do. We believe that people are kind of the sum
of a singular label.
Well, yeah. Hmm.
Yeah, and we're in, wow, okay. Okay,
we got real life coming by us in
yeah,
a
we
siren.
Do. We do. We
I
live
wonder
on
if they're coming for you or me.
We live on a main drag in the beautiful Villa Park, and so yes. You get sirens coming by. And yeah, I'm at my kitchen table. I should say that. We're at our kitchen table
here.
Yeah. It's the best place to do the podcast.
Yes.
I'm thinking of one particular listener who private messaged me and said, I really want you and Mike, to tell me how to vote. Well, we're not going to tell people how to vote. Now, there are things that we can talk about that are important to take a look at, you know, as you move through the political process, but each person actually has to do their own due diligence with this thing, right?
And people don't have a grid.
Yes.
By which to do it.
Yes.
And so oftentimes what they'll do is they'll listen to that leader that says, well, I can endorse this person or that person. And sometimes when we look at these leaders, and sometimes they're big name people, we don't go, you know what, you're wrong here. Mm-hmm. It's possible for them to be wrong. Sometimes some of our biggest authors and speakers can be very self-serving in the way they go about doing things. So people have to decide exactly what it is that their grid is. I think the number one for me is when I go look at any candidate. And by the way, folks, I vote for Republicans and Democrats. I'm probably more liberal on justice issues. I'm very much a life kind of person, but I have from conception all the way to the grave, you know, concerns. And that means I'm against capital punishment. That would hold me against, a lot of people might put me in a category then. But I think a lot of us can't be completely conservative or completely liberal. But what I'm looking at,
which makes it hard because you do have to, you're never fully going to be going to love one single platform or candidate.
Right.
And that's fine.
Right. What I would ask people to do is take whatever it is their favorite candidate has said, whatever they're proposing, and picture that candidate saying it the way they say it to us, to Jesus across the table.
Okay, I like that.
You know, because for me, what this does, it's got to pass the Christ sniff test. Hmm. And I would never think of addressing Jesus with foul language, of stereotyping people, or any of those kinds of things. I would think Jesus would come back at me and say, Mike, you belong to me. Why are you talking about that? The people you're talking about are the people that I love. Because whether we realize it or not, whether people are Christian or not, that everyone carries the imprint of God in their life. And God just flat out loves them. So does our candidate, I call it the scent of Christ. Is there anything about the scent of Christ in that person, whether he or she is a Christian or not? Does it have the smell of Christ? And if it doesn't, okay, to me, that's an important thing. And I know a lot of non-Christians that really have the smell of Christ about them, even though they don't believe.
Okay.
And I know I know Christians that say things, do things, and I go, you don't have the smell of Christ. Mm. And so I might want to distance myself from you for a while, but it's got to be the totality of things. So that's part of my grid.
Okay. I appreciate that. Now, at this point, obviously, we have the whole ticket. So we've got a couple of people to look at, you know, the top two. But you're talking about the top person. Or I don't know if you're talking about the whole ticket.
Well, I think we want to look at the whole ticket because that one person is a heartbeat away the second from the presidency.
Okay. That's helpful, too, to think about that.
And just say, hey, do they have something of Christ in them? Mm-hmm. And what do they really stand for, too? Mm-hmm. You know, and if they're too conservative or too liberal, is there any give in their position so they can embrace the rest of the country? Mm-hmm. Because that's what really has to happen.
And there's a lot of negotiation that has to go on in the political process because there's a lot that depends on what kind of Congress and House and all that you have.
Oh yeah, and the problem is we have gridlock right now. Mm-hmm. We've had some people in the House, the Senate, that for 6 years have tried to stymie everything that's gone on, and they take credit for that. Well, I think that I would vote them out, mm-hmm. because that's not the purpose of government. You got to come to some kind of common agreements about things. And there are some bigger issues. There's issues about how you spend the money and where you spend the money and all that kind of stuff. But there's got to be a way to come to places where you could say, okay, we'll give you that, you give me that. Because mm-hmm. just one party isn't going to be able to do it.
There has to be compromise on some things.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Any other parts to the grid that could be helpful for us at this point?
Well, I know you do this. You have this conversation group, and I know you've talked about mm-hmm. this, where you're bringing people that bring in diverse viewpoints.
Yes.
And they talk about things. Mm-hmm. And so I like to do that too. You know, Black Lives Matter is one thing. Well, the worst thing in the world is for a bunch of white people who don't believe that, you know, it that to get together to talk about it. So what I urge people to do, and what I do, I'll go into the city where I have black friends, and I'll say, can we chat for a little bit? I want to get your perspective mm-hmm. on this. I have any number of people that I can go to, so do you, and say, okay, so I just don't have to listen to people that sound like me all the time. And that's what I think what happens. I think if you're really, really conservative, you get together with really, really conservative people because you're afraid of anybody that's really, sure. really liberal. I'm not.
And vice versa.
I'm not. I find most people are pretty nice to
converse to with. Yeah. You know, yeah.
The other thing that I look for at a candidate is there any possibility that I could have a good conversation with this person?
Oh, yes, yes. I actually look for that as well.
You know,
I think that's really important.
Yes. If they're too narcissistic, I don't want them talking about themselves all the time. And there are candidates that tend that way. But who could I have a conversation with? I mean, I'm not promoting anybody, but when Tim Kaine, the vice presidential guy for the Democrats, came on, I thought to myself, wow, we have a lot in common. I bet we could have a great conversation, and we could disagree, and it would be all right. Mm-hmm. So he passed that sniff test. I'm looking at other things now,
which I think is really important too. You mentioned, you know, liking being able to sit down and dialogue with people you don't agree with. And maybe I'll just add this, and still be friends at the end of the conversation. I think we need to be able to do that. I think that's critical, not just politically, but theologically, about all kinds of things.
Oh, yeah.
There's
that's
no
where the
reason.
Fun is.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, if you could do that. You know, my aunt has been in the Minnesota State Legislature for a lot of years, and I just love her. And she comes from the Democratic Farmer Labor Party, the party of Mondale and, you know, Hubert Humphrey and all those folks. But also she's a very devout Catholic and has some opinions about certain things that probably go against the norm of what a liberal is. And she's saying, you know, really what I am, I'm a member of this party, I believe in it, but they allow me the freedom to have some other kinds of opinions. Mm. And that's the way the world should be.
Yeah.
You know? And they just know it. And so there's probably some things that they can't count on or vote for, but that's all right.
Yeah. Yeah. And they don't force her. They don't, she's also representing her constituents too.
Sure. Blue collar union folks that, she's known for years and years, and they probably are in their own way, a little mix of liberal and conservative themselves.
Yeah. Okay. What else? Anything else before we?
Well, I don't want this to sound like a Christian thing, but you know, I think people really have to pray.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that, because I just kind of get all stirred up, and sometimes I don't remember that needs to be an integral part of this whole process.
Right. And I think what I have to pray for a lot, because I can get agitated, is I have to pray and say, okay, Lord, what's that agitation about? Mm. Is there any hate that's starting to come into my life as a result of what that person said or did? And then what I find for political candidates that I most disagree with, who I feel most agitated with, I find myself praying for them because I want the best for them. And I often pray that good Christian people, good people, first of all, and then good people of faith, hopefully people of Christian faith, can come alongside them and just serve as kind of advisors to them. Mm-hmm. And that would be really important. And I think that's what we got to do more and more of.
Well, and the reality is, you know, I don't know what the percentages are of people that are listening to the podcast, but there are going to be some on each side of the line voting for you know, both of the candidates that are the nominee for their individual parties. And whether our particular candidate comes in or not, comes into office or is voted into office, we're going to need to be praying for whoever gets that vote.
That's right.
Come November.
Let's see what happens.
All right. Well, thanks for being with me on the podcast today.
And our dinner guest just arrived.
Oh, good deal. Well, then that means I need to say I'm Anita Lustria, and this is Faith Conversations.